you all may know that I've just got back from Ghana, and as a result, I believe that so many things happened that me, maybe perhaps being a person of words, feel as though that so many things happened and so many mighty things of God that it took words away from me, and I have less words to say. Are you with me? But I said that I would try to spread them out over the next 2 to 3 weeks, realizing that I thought we had a couple of weeks, but we don't. So I'm going to squeeze a few things into today because I just want to believe that, how many know when you go somewhere, when you come back, you want to carry and bring something back. Yeah, are you with me? And so as a result, here's a few things to just kind of invite you to be a part of what God is doing and what God did while we were away. If you look at the picture that's off to the right, that is the home church, or where the Apostle Luke Kwanza, which is Kobe's grandfather. I had the privilege of being able to speak with him prior to him passing, and he was very eager that we would come over and be a part or have counsel with him regarding churches. He was responsible for planting about 16 churches over the course of his life in Ghana alone, and this was the one church that he had here that was at home. That is the new pastor. She's been there 15 years, or pastora, they call her mama. She's a wonderful woman of God, full of fire, loves Jesus, preaches well, sings well. What a blessing. And everybody said amen. Amen. Papa Kwanza, which is Kobe's father, which, you know, he was more or less my host, and I call him Papa Kwanza, so that's who I'm referring to. And while we were going to certain places, as you see at the top left, that was actually, that's his mom, who was the wife of the former Apostle Luke. And she is so sweet and wonderful. I know in her upper 80s, maybe 90-something, but one of the beautiful things happened as we drove up. Now, we had been to several places, but when we drove up on their street, we were getting ready to get out the car, but I believe I heard the Holy Spirit say, you need to anoint people with oil in this house. And I didn't know who was there. I don't know anything. I just believed that we were hearing God and we wanted to obey. And everybody said, oh man, amen. And as a direct result, I went, got back in the briefcase, pulled the oil out, and we went inside. Well, Mr. Kwanza, as he gets in the house, he tells his mom, and those are his sisters, he says that to them in their native tongue, and which is their dialect is tree. And he starts telling them about, you know, when we drove up, he just sensed that the Holy Spirit was supposed to come in and anoint and pray for you. She looked up at me with her eyes as sweet as she could be. She said, this is a man of God. I want you to understand that. How many know it doesn't matter what your age is? You are young when it comes to eternity. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. It was such a blessing. We began to lay hands on her and pray for her, and it was a blessing. But what I did not know is the sisters that was there. One of the things we found out when we got there is that you can see the young lady to the right. She just seemed very much so in despair. We prayed with her and spoke with her gently and prayed and ministered to her. But the lady that's right next to me, which is another one of his sisters, here she was. Papa Kwanza reaches over to me and says, yep, that's my sister, but her daughter died within the past year of COVID. Somebody say, have mercy. What did God say before I even got out the car? We're going to anoint and pray over the people in the house. And we laid hands on her, and she was so grateful, so thankful. A little 8-year-old came walking past, and they said that that was the son of the young lady who had passed, and now she has inherited raising him. And so how many know that God wants us to be able to know that things happen not only in the U.S., but some of the same things happen all over the world? Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. I've got to go faster. There's a huge story to the right, but let me talk about the left. One of the words or phrases that we learned not while we were there prior to going, though, is that sometimes there are countries that are considered to be exploited countries. I'll give you an example of what I mean. I may have my stats wrong. I'm trying to quote something that I understood. But that seed there that you see there is called coca. That's where, you know, you get everything that's related to the coca plant. But here it is. Ghana, I believe, exports about 70% or 80% of something of the world's cocoa around the world. Are you with me? But they only actually make profit or gross about 2-3% of that. When we talk about needing to understand what it means to take raw material and transform it into something that is profitable, that brings the nation an ability so that it would not, so that it would have a gross income. Cocoa, thank you, sister. And down, thank you, Anna. Below there, you see there's just a scenic landscape there of being on the mountain and just a view there. I want to talk about the place that we were going to, preached about it at Everyone Prays. Everybody see that waterfall there? Everybody see that? Quick lesson is that when we went there, and I've asked almost everybody that went on the particular trip to please send me pictures, because I didn't. And here's the point I'm making is that when we went there, it was so unimpressionable that no one ever took a picture. In other words, that is not what we saw. In other words, it was absolutely, right, Kyle, completely dry. No waterfall. There's not only one waterfall, but that in that location, there's two waterfalls. The name of the place is Boaty Falls. I mean, it's called Boaty Falls. But I want you to understand that in that region of the country, how many understand there's dry times and there's times of rain? And it can make that much of a drastic difference. I'm going somewhere with this. That it was so dry, I could not even see potentially where water would come out of a place. So my point is that how many know that that speaks volumes, because that's just like what Sister Monique was sharing, that there are times when we are dry. How many know there is times where you feel like you're thirsty and you've ran out and you haven't had any kind of liquid internally? You feel parched, you feel dry, you feel barren, you feel empty, you feel like you don't have something. But how many understand that in that same location came forth this waterfall? What I'm trying to tell you is that you need not worry. God can cause the former and the latter rain. Not only that, but he can put a river of living water down on the inside of you, because Jesus has been glorified. And even though it looks dry, how many understand? But when the rain comes, or when he touches it and moves it, out of your belly will come running rivers of living water. Just like this waterfall, give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Praise God. I said, Kobe, please, man of God, I know there's nobody even answered me. They didn't even send me a picture of it being dry. And this was an actual picture. That's Brianna right there. If I had not seen this, I'm telling you, I told this at Everyone Prays, my imagination was not wild enough to think that water came out. I'm just telling you, it was that dry. Amen. I mean, when we got there was about five guys there that was, you know, just playing in the water. I mean, the water was just to their calves. Are you with me? Amen. And it was just hard to believe that this, I said, not to mention it was a 3.5-hour drive to get there. So my point is, you say you drove us 3.5 hours. Oh, that was just really nice. That's nice. Oh, this is beautiful, Ghana. Amen. And so I want you to know that there was a huge lesson there. Amen. Here we see the actual, what's called the, amen. Yep, beautiful. There is Kobe and Brianna. And here you see Justine off to the right there. Amen. One of the things, this is called the actual tradition Ghanaian engagement. It's not called a wedding. And so this is the first part of the day of the ceremony that they planned. It was wonderful. It's very traditional. The chairs are not in aisle form. They actually represent two different families, and they face each other. And it's kind of like a negotiation of, will you accept this? And do you want this daughter of mine? And those types of things. It's a lot of theatrics to it. It's just there for a really beautiful time. And as you can see, they have their Ghanaian garb on, and it's just a beautiful session. Here you see what is called the white wedding. I don't know the research of why that's called white. I just think that that's all around the world. They call it that. They have those types of weddings, but there as we're there, and as we are having a formal wedding as we are familiar with it here in America. I want to talk about these pictures really fast here. First of all, I want to talk about the gentleman that you see in the middle that's off to the right, wonderful, humble man of God, that one to the left also. We're at the marketplace, which is down at the left is a type of market. At that particular market, it's almost one of my most favorite pictures. As you can see, as far as the eye can see, you see those umbrellas and tents. That's because that is in marketplace. Down below, I'm on the second floor. I took a picture. And this in the marketplace, all throughout, all of there is all kinds of products that you can buy, and of every type that you could even imagine. And it was all the way to the left, all the way to the right, and all the way down that street. Down further, there is a particular market where they have some of these items. And in this particular market, how many know that God wants us to be supernatural in services and in what? Streets. And in streets. And as a result, how many know some of us think that that's just USA? No, what God had us to do right then and there, we were able to get a few products for this young man here. And he said, you know what, you know, a man of God, please, if you would, just bless my place, bless this place. It was such a beautiful scene. He got down, they're such a humble people, got down on his knees as we prayed over him, laid hands on him right then and there. But all the other proprietors in the little markets, they came around and surrounded. And we prayed right there that God would increase his business. Somebody say amen. Praise God. And such a beautiful, kind, and just a loving heart. To the left there is a beautiful scene here. We're again on the mountain. I want to kind of explain this. There's a gentleman there who is a prophet, and that's another whole story. Can't go into it. Probably the best, anyway, 25 minutes I ever had in a long time. But one of the things is that we went to this place, and they have made an actual landing, and it's all cut out and all that, the pictures, and all around it. And then there's an outside kind of a pavilion where they actually minister and preach from, but not chairs, but kind of like wood benches and things like that. Because what people do is they get there and they fast and they pray. Fast and pray. And literally hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people come there. Maybe I do need to tell you this. one of the things that this man of God walks in as a gifting and an anointing for the mentally ill. For so many years, he looks really young, but for so many years, God has used him to watch the deliverance of people with mental illness right before your very eyes. So much so that they went ahead and built a clinic there for them to have a place after they become free. So powerful, literally. Known throughout the country as such, but a beautiful place where they fast and pray there. Here we see, we come rounding it out. Just want to share this picture. Here's a few times that we're in different services. I want to talk about, first of all, up to the left, the gentleman there in the blue, Mr. Kojo. The guy to the right is Mr. Mark. Wonderful men of God. But they were assigned to take me out to do street evangelism. Somebody say amen. Praise God. So here we are right there in Ghana, and these are what men of God do. Here's a quick lesson. Listen, we need to learn how to collaborate with other people's gifts. I'm going to say that again. Look around the room, if you will. Listen, there's people in this room, AJ, Clee. There's people in this room, Michael. There's people in this room, literally, Monique, Tyler, Taylor. Listen, Bruce, there are people in the room that have a gift, and you know, we always looking at us what I don't have. But how many understand, you may not have it, but Krista might. But if Krista has this gift that I don't think I have, but she may need the other gift that I have. But if we get together and work together for Christ, we'll have what God wants. Somebody say amen. That's called being the body of Christ. Many members, but one body. Many gifts, same spirit. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, will you learn how to break out of your conformity of staying in your 3-foot area and find the freedom and the liberty of Jesus Christ to actually see a need and bless it? Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. These young men, you know, wonderful. This is what they do. I tried to tell them, I say, look, you know, I'm not leading this. You know, I'm just here to follow, maybe going to learn from what you all do or whatever. We get to the very first place. We go out to this plaza, just like much like here in America. We're on this open plaza, shops everywhere. We're at this kiosk in the open field, out in the open air. And we walk right up to it. And Kojo just has a gift and, just a blessing. He walks up. He starts talking to these guys, literally men. He's talking to these guys, you know, whatever. Me and Mark are off to the side praying or whatever. He turns and says, Pastor. I said, Pastor, what do you mean? I just told you I'm following. Amen. He calls me over there and says, this gentleman wants to receive prayer. We began to minister to him right then and there. And the short of the story is he accepted Jesus Christ right there on the spot in the moment, right there where we were. Let me make sure you hear what I'm saying. We literally asked him, do you know Jesus? No, I do not. I do not know him. I don't know Jesus. After we get through ministering the word of truth, he says, do you want to pray to accept? Do you want to follow Jesus? Will you follow these things in church? Listen, this man accepted Jesus right then and there on the spot. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise offering in Jesus' name. If that's not something else, again, these men are artists. They're drawing. They have their kiosks there. They're selling their products or whatever. I literally get done praying, blessing them, holding them, hugging them. I walk away. I take about 5 steps. Kojo says, hey, Pastor, This gentleman saw what we were doing. He wants to accept Jesus Christ too. Calls us right back over to the man that was also at the counter, right there praying for him as well, because he saw something that God was doing. And what I love about it, though I'm not chauvinistic or anything like that, but I was so thankful that it was men. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. My God. I don't know what I'm doing with my notes here. I'm giving all kinds of notes. I need to get this out of my hand, maybe. Amen. Praise God. Such a beautiful time. I wish I could tell you about, we went down further. We just passed, listen to this story. We just passed this security guard. Kojo and Mark say, no, we shouldn't pray for Kent. We shouldn't pray for security guards. This guy walked past, he was a security guard. Said, no, we shouldn't pray for security guards because they're working, you know, they're busy, you know, they don't have that type of time. We shouldn't do that. We walk literally about another 150 feet. We walk, we look up, we said, let's pray for that security guard right there. Amen. It was just so, I mean, it's just like, what happened here, right? We go over to this guy, and the best way I can describe him is that he was just one big muscle. Amen. I mean, this guy was just clean. More than clean. He was cut. I mean, this guy was cut. You cut. This dude was, I don't know, he's just a muscle. Amen. And it was a little bit intimidating, you know what I'm saying? And before you know it, Kojo at work, you know, Kojo, Pastor, want to pray for this guy? Okay, Kojo, amen. We went over to the man of God. We began to minister to him. But listen, I want you to know, in all of that strength on the outside, all of that strength on the what?
Outside.
Here he has humility on the inside. I say, Kyle, he had humility on the inside. Here's what happened. He says, you know, and he's like literally, nearly, you know, weeping. He says, you know, I just want to be close to God. I need God in my life. I need to be closer to God. I want to be able to have a mate that I trust. I need a job, not from here and there. I need a trustworthy, sustainable job. I want to know God. And then he said this. After we prayed for him, we walked away. We went to sit again. Kojo's still talking to him. He says, Pastor, we go back over to pray for him again. He says, can you just pray also? Because whenever I go to the gym and I'm working out, every time I leave the gym, every time I go to church or anything like that, I fall asleep. He says, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's spiritual. I don't know what it is. But we just pray that God would release him and give him freedom so that God would keep him alert and awake and change some of his ways so that he will be alert to be able to engage with God. Let's thank God for him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Church at the Bottom is where we preached at on Palm Sunday. Really phenomenal ministry. Again, another stat here. Just want to kind of share with you. What an amazing country in the sense that of this. And I think this is right, 73%, I think it is. Something like 73% of the population in Ghana are all under the age of 35.
Wow.
I think it's the only one in the Africa, country in Africa that has that, but literally everybody's under 35. Actually, Brother Kobe's brother, who's 23, I think it is, 23, he actually goes to a particular church that is 20,000 people, 20,000 young people, and all of them are under age of 25. Just completely amazing. The way the church is built is phenomenal and just really powerful. This church here that we're at is a similar church. I would say most people were under the age of 35. We preached it, and God just moved powerfully in a way in which, you know, by the time we got to the altar call, not only the people that was from America that was at the altar, but many of the people from Ghana was there, and God just moved demonstratively. It was just a beautiful time in the Lord. We grew in affection with the pastor and his bride and just established a really, really sweet communion. One of the things that I thought was really, you know, I talked with my wife about the church and stuff like that, but one of the things that I found out is that they never let anyone outside of their circle preach at their church. I was the very first person that ever preached outside of their circle. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Over there, you see, this is the home church, and we were doing a Holy Week or Passion Week services, and we had a deliverance service a couple of those weeks or a couple of those days. And you see, the people that we couldn't pray for on one day, we ended up praying for the next day. By the time we was done, everybody in the church was prayed for. Somebody say amen. Praise God. I say all that to say because we want to know this question, what is God doing? Say that with me. What is God doing? What is God doing? I've talked about so many things that I won't go through all of them. I'll give you this one and then we'll jump to the last one. But here's what I want you to hear. Before we ever went, say it again, before we ever went, when did this happen?
Before we went.
before we went, which we want to learn how to minister like this, we want to learn how to cry out in private. We want to learn how to cry out in private. You cry out in private, you take risk in public. Are you with me? And so as a result of that, before we ever went, we were still here and we began to minister to the Lord. Man, that's other stories I could talk about. But we began to minister to the Lord, and I began to hear God say this one thing, and he gave me a vision. And one of the things he shared with me is this. He says that there's going to be a lady that is going to have a black snake delivered out of her stomach. I believe God said to me, I believe God prompted my heart and said, you know what? There's going to be a woman that is going to have a black snake delivered out of her stomach. Everybody with me? So amen. So on the last one, it says that even today, God is wanting to reveal his will for your life. How many of you know that? Because whatever God will do in Africa or Ghana, God will do in the Netherlands. Whatever God will do in the Netherlands, he'll do in Australia. Whatever God will do in Australia, he'll do in Canada. Whatever God will do in Canada, how many of you know he'll do at 114 Fifth Street? Somebody say amen. Because God is not limited to what he does or where he does it, because God is where you need him to be, when you need him to be it, and he'll be whatever you need him to be. Are you with me? So therefore, if God is all-consuming, and if our God can find us and he can make what needed in our lives, how many of you know that makes you a candidate for what God can do? Amen. Praise Jesus. With that being said, I believe it can be today. There's no way that it's best that we read this whole entire passage of scripture from the Amplified Bible, though it's on the screens. I do want to read certain portions of this because it's good teaching. It's good what?
Teaching.
Let me try to make this applicable. We're going to go through many scriptures and many concepts. It is up to God and his Holy Spirit to cause you to hear what the Spirit says to the church. I'm asking you to open up your heart, because whatever you're going through, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's maritally, relationally. I don't care if it's financially. I don't care if it's I need to know what my next direction is, which apartment to take, if I need to break up with this person, who's toxic in my life. Whatever it is, God can get an answer to you.
Amen.
Can you hear that online? Amen. How many know God wants to answer your questions? God wants to what?
Answer your questions.
Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says this. Would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Starting at verse 1. It says, and when I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming to you the testimony of God concerning salvation through Christ, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, no lofty words of eloquence or of philosophy as a Greek orator might do. For I made the decision to know nothing, that is to forego philosophical or theological discussions regarding inconsequential things and opinions while among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't think you ever heard that. Way to go, John. Listen, Jim, listen. The scripture says in verse 2, he says, look, out of all of those things, what I have determined to know is nothing except Jesus Christ and him what?
Crucified.
Jesus Christ and him what?
Crucified.
And the meaning of his redemptive substitutionary death and his resurrection. Amen? Verse 3 says, I came to you in a state of weakness and fear and great trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom using clever rhetoric, but they were delivered in demonstration of the Holy Spirit operating through me and of his power stirring the minds of the listeners and persuading them, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom and rhetoric of men, but on the what? Power of God. How many of you know that Paul, and by the Holy Spirit as he's writing, wants our faith to rest on the wisdom only on the power of God? Somebody say amen. So as a result of him writing this, he goes on to say, verse 6, yet we do speak wisdom among those spiritually mature. And I want to say this, I don't care if we are tenured, we're Bible scholars, we speak and teach the word of God eloquently and powerfully, we might be speakers, preachers, pastors, elders. We might be Sunday school teachers. We might be those that have gone to Bible college, whatever it might be, wherever you might have just started Jesus. You might just be a guest, not sure about Jesus at all. No matter where we are in the spectrum, we believers who have teachable hearts and a greater understanding. But it is a higher wisdom, not the wisdom of the present age, nor of the rulers or leaders of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. In a what?
Mystery.
The wisdom that was once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God, that wisdom, get this, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, to lift us into the glory of his presence. None of the rulers of this age recognized and understood this wisdom. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. Let me say that again. If those that were the rulers of the age, even yet still to this day, if they had understood what was going to be the result of the crucifixion of the Lord of glory, if they had known what Jesus was going to fulfill for you and me and all those people that Sister Kelly called you out by name, I want you to know the wisdom of that world would not have crucified them, but they messed up and crucified the Lord of glory. Give them a praise offering in Jesus' name. Boy, boy, boy. We're in for something joyous. Listen, but therefore it is written in Scripture, things which the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who what? Love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. But verse 10, for God has unveiled them, meaning letting us know, took them back, for we can see them, and revealed them to us by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding. And every God's heart said, amen. Amen. So therefore, what we want to do is to help you shine today in Christ Jesus and as a person. Picking up from where we left off on last week, what we want you to know is what particular value are we on? We are on the value of free in Christ. God wants us to be free in Christ. God wants us to be free. Wants us to be free in Christ. God wants us to be what? Free in Christ. God wants you to be free in Christ. Turn to your neighbor, he's talking to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Amen. He's talking to you. Amen. He's talking, listen, Jacob, yep, you and Gabrielle, yep, you should do that. Listen, God wants us to be free. God wants us to be what?
Free.
This particular message, coupled with last week, is to help us understand what Jesus did to make us free. This is what Jesus did to make us free. Jesus went through some things. He was strategic. He was, God and him were very much so working to make us free. To make us what?
Free.
Listen, whatever you need to be free in, he fulfilled it. I hope today you can just somehow open up your heart and God by his Spirit would give us understanding that this just won't be, you know, academic, but that somehow it would become applicable. Somebody say amen. Hey, Mom, let's visit Matthew 27 again. We're not going to read the whole entire thing. We're going to visit just those scriptures that's in the more golden colors. We read this whole passage in its entirety on last week. And when I look at the time right now, we were able to get through the whole entire message in first service, but I've got to run fast if you don't mind. So I'm going to read the New King James Version, but we're going to read those verses that we have on the screen. Now, your study is Matthew 27, verses 27 to 54. I am going to put up a screen that's going to give you a lot of highlights. But I want us to read verse 33 right there. Again, New King James Version. I'm going to read verse 33. It says, and when they had come to a place, to a what place? To a what? A place called Golgotha. I understand that that may not be the correct enunciation or pronunciation, but I'm going to call it Golgotha. To the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull. and says, and when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull. Jump down to verse 35. It says, then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Verse 36, sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And everybody said, amen. They kept watch over him as he hung there. As Jesus what? Hung there. I want you to know something. Again, this is a breakdown and worth you taking a look at. When you read verse Matthew chapter 27, and you read from verses 27 to 54, I would like to peruse through what this text highlights. These are the verses highlighted. In verse 27, they said, bring the entire regiment around to do all of this crucifixion and making fun of him and torturing him. They said, bring the entire regiment, all of the soldiers around. In verse 28, they said that they stripped him. They did what? They. And then in verse 29, it says that they mocked him. In verse 31, we see it again. And they mocked him and they crucified him. In verse 33, we just read, they brought him to the place called Golgotha. They brought him to the place called what?
Golgotha.
And in verse 35, it says they crucified him. What did they do? They crucified. Come on, say it out loud. They what? Verse 37 says that they had an accusation that he was the king of the Jews, and they put it on there over him. In verse 38, it says that he was crucified with criminals. He was crucified as a criminal with criminals, as though he himself had committed a crime. He was crucified with those that were criminal. In verse 40, it says that if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In verse 41, again, we see him again. They were mocking him. In verse 42, they repeated again, come down from the cross. And they said, if you come down from the cross, then we will what? Believe you. How many know that's just like the world? The world wants you to prove it, show it, do it, and then they might consider believing you. But the Bible says, more blessed are they that believe and have not seen it. That's us, the people of God, because we live by faith. Somebody say amen. In verse 45, it says, and darkness was over the land for 3 hours. In verse 50, the Bible says, he yielded up his spirit. King James says he gave up the ghost. Verse 51, I want you to read it out loud. Verse 51 and 52. Ready, set, read. Veil of temple torn top to bottom, and the earth did quake. The Bible says literally in verse 51, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And in that same verse, the Bible says the earth did shake, or the earth did quake. Verse 52, read it out loud. Graves opened, bodies of saints who died was raised. There's a scripture there in verse 52 that talks about when Jesus died, he gave up the ghost. It says that the graves were open. And then we see the soldier in verse 54. He watches the whole entire scene. He was there as they're doing all of these things to our Jesus. And he has a conclusion. And that's what's beautiful about God, is that God can do things that's so beautiful that even the world can believe it. Somebody say amen. And what does he say? Truly, this is the Son of God. Somebody say amen. Praise God. So that gives us understanding of the text. Man, this is on its own today. Amen. So therefore, we want to continue in this message. We want you to say it out loud. The show must go on. We want to know that this is going to be the close or the conclusion of what we started on last week. The show must go on. Say that with me. The show must go on. And therefore, if we had the time, I would like to bring up Brother Derek. We won't be able to do it, but how many understand that Brother Derek was the producer? He was the director. He was the cameraman. He found the locations. He wrote the story. He cast the audience. Got all those things together. He was just a working man on the film. Somebody say amen. Praise God. And even when it could not be shown in Get Done, how many know he still was working hard at it? Because you know what? The film must go on. The show must what? I'd like to reveal to you today why we've entitled this message that. That's only to invite you in to understand. That's what the face value of it is, but I want to show you something today scripturally that prayerfully would make a lot of sense to you. Here's something that we do know. The show must go on means to continue doing something despite difficulty or trouble, to keep working on your plan whatsoever. We talk about when the show must go on, it means one must finish what one has started. Things must continue no matter what. This means Jesus. Listen to me. How many know Jesus? I said Jesus. He said the show must go on. How many know that no matter if it was going to be difficult or not, he was going to make the show go on. He knew that it was going to be a difficulty. He knew what it meant to go through all of the situations. He was already purposed to do it before he ever got on earth. Therefore, when it came down, though it was going to be difficult, he said, no, not even my will, but God our Father, it be your will to be done. Because Jesus knew the show must go on. Somebody say amen. One of the artists said it this way, it's not an ideal situation, but the show must go on. So, we can't go through all of it, but we hope to know that Jesus showed up for us. Jesus did what? He showed up for. And what we want to continue in is the freedom at Goshen and Golgotha. We want to continue in the freedom at Goshen versus Golgotha. And we're going to conclude today by what was finished because the show went on. To remind you, I won't go over all of it. This was last week. Please watch it on last week's message. Jesus showed up for us. All that means is that Jesus had a meal before the show. He had a meal before the show, what we call the Last Supper. But what I want you to see is that then he went to Gethsemane, and that was his backstage. Gethsemane was the backstage where Jesus had to get ready. He had to prepare himself. And you know, there's always a backstage in order to get ready before you go on the front stage. What was the front stage, Pastor? Golgotha was the front stage. Front stage and center. And Jesus had to go out in the front. He had to make sure that it was going to be out in the open. He could not do it in private or behind closed doors. He was going to make this an open show. He was going to put this on the front of everyone. It was on a hill, and that hill so it could be seen from miles around, or all that came to it had to come up to it and see him there. They put him in the center, one on the left and one on the right. It was a center stage. And he was there as though it was a skull. We knew it was a place of death, but what does it mean? To mortify the flesh. Or moreover, he was treated with cruelty. The reason we talk about crucifixion is because crucifixion was meant either to hold or bind your hands by rope or by nails, and we know Jesus had the spikes or the nails in his hands. I didn't say it last week. I want to say it this week. It's because how many understand that Jesus was dealing with what was going on the inside? Jesus was dealing with what was going on the inside. In other words, we cannot be standing just for trying to solve our situations on the outside. We cannot just think that if I can just get everything taken care of on the outside, that's like us trying to deal with everything and everything's going to be okay. But you know, you can do all of the things on the outside, but God wants to know how are you dealing with it on the inside. Somebody say amen. So what did Jesus do? He took it in the nails. He took it in his palms. He took it in his feet because Jesus was dealing with things on the inside. And when the blood came out, which was the life of the flesh, he was dealing with our issues. He wanted to deal with it. So once we got free, we would remain free. That things wouldn't creep back up on us because all we dealt with was on the outside. But if you start dealing with stuff on the inside, then you'll become real, real free. Somebody say amen. And there as Golgotha was the performance, as Golgotha was the platform, it was the front stage. It was there and he went through misery. He was mocked. You saw it in the scriptures. He was mangled, which means he was mutilated. He was crucified. Calvary is another word for it. Calvary is the place of Golgotha. It was Calvary's cross and he was dealing with internally, not externally. And everybody said amen. So, Golgotha, we see that this is a public place. This is a public stage. They were gathered all around, and here they were. I even remember when some of the scripture says some of them walked, and they just waved their head and shook their head. Why? Because he was out there. They said he was this. They said he was that. And Jesus knew all of what he was preaching and teaching. The people he served, the people he healed, the people he fed. There was thousands upon thousands that had come to know him and had believed that he was the Messiah, the one to come. And now here's the one that said he was, is the one that's hanging there. It was out in the public that he went. Soldiers, centurions, Roman guards, all of us understand that Jesus did this out in the open. He did it how? Out in the what?
Open.
He did it out in the open. Let me remind you what Jesus gave us at Golgotha. Jesus gave us our freedom. He liberated us. He released us from the power of sin and shame. It's all right for us to say amen. He released us from the feelings of failure. We are not docked by being mocked. And Jesus Christ at Golgotha made us miracles, no longer in misery or miserable, or at least making our pathway powerful and possible. Somebody say amen. What I'm saying is that maybe you don't feel free. Maybe you don't feel liberated. All of a sudden, my preaching has gotten you start being quiet. I'm certainly not being quiet, but I want you to know, even though you might be getting quiet because I might be coming home to you, might be at your dining room table, might be stepping on toes now, might be making some of you all upset. That's all right. I want you to know, Jesus Christ himself, he came and got us free. We don't have to have sin. We don't have to be shamed. I don't have to feel like a failure. I don't have to wear guilt because it was at Golgotha that he made me free. Come on, give God a praise offering. My God, what he gave us at Golgotha is this. God gave way to Jesus' fullness of grace and truth. I want you to know we had need of grace. We are saved by grace. We need the fullness of his grace. The Bible even says we go from grace to grace. I want you to know grace has empowered us to become who we are. But when you understand the fullness, the immeasurable goodness of God, his glory and his grace, all of that grace came to us, but it came by way of Golgotha. Golgotha was fulfilled. Calvary's cross was there and was finished and completed when he died there, when he went through all of the misery, when he went through the mocking, when he was spat on, when he had the crown on, when all of those things took place, they took place through Golgotha. But because of Golgotha, I now can receive the abundance of God's goodness, the abundance of God's grace. It's his grace that has fulfilled the empowerment in my life so I can do all that he created and called me to become. But it came by way of the show and the performance that was done at Golgotha. My God. That's amazing. Jesus took our place. Jesus took our what?
Place.
He was the substitutionary stand-in stuntman in this show. Somebody say amen. We celebrate and rejoice at Golgotha because I am a child of God. I want you to know Golgotha gave me an adoption. As a direct result, I've been regenerated. I've been adopted into a new family. We sang that today. Amen. I've been given a new name all because it took place at Golgotha. In other words, no more sin. No, come on, where you at? I don't see how y'all must got crazy glue on your seats. I don't know. Listen, I said there's no more sin, no more death, no more hell, no more grave. I am not bound. I don't have to remain in my sin. I don't have to feel guilty. I don't have to feel shame. I don't have to walk in darkness. I don't have to move in depression. And while I want to be sensitive to it, all I'm trying to do is shake you to understand you might be in something, but you don't have to remain there. Hallelujah. Can you put some word on that? I don't mind that you said that. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free." Has made me what? Has made me what?
Free
from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Before I read verse 16, I want you to get this. Ethan, we need to hear this. This is highly important. If you don't get this message, it's not on the screen, but it's in the concepts that we're speaking. If the law could save or give life, it would have. But it had no ability. In other words, get this. No matter how goody two shoes you act, it does not cause you to be transformed. it does not cause you to be good. It just means you're doing it on the outward appearance, but not necessarily with the inward heart. But when you start living from the inward heart of Christ, it will cause it to come out on the outside. Because God works from the inside out. I want you to understand that's why you want the Spirit of Christ to dwell in you to lead you. Somebody say amen. Therefore, in verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit says that we are the children of God. I said we. I'll come over here because y'all look like y'all need. We are the children of God. Say that with me. We are the children of God. Say, I am a child of God. Say, I am a child of God. Come on, somebody. It happened at Golgotha. We celebrate and rejoice what Jesus did at Golgotha. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, isn't that something? Could you change that, if you will? Carly, can you make it go? Okay. Wow. Okay. That's going to be good. The show must go on. The show must go on. Amen. Wow. All right. Okay. Listen, we do not have to get stuck. Ooh. We do not have to get stuck in life in the sinking sin of quicksand. Everybody with me? I said we do not. Jesus took our penalty and punishment by the sacrificial death by crucifixion on Calvary's cross. Isaiah 53:5 says this, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment, the what? Come on, the what? Other translation says the chastisement. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I want you to understand that Jesus took our punishment. He took our penalty. Everything that Jesus did was not just a religious act. It is truth that he died sacrificially, giving us his life. Somebody say amen. You know, there was a witness there. John the apostle, there wasn't all the disciples there, but John was one worthy to hear this. In John 19:30, you need to get this. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he says, it is what? Finished. Jesus said this. He cried out with a loud voice, and he said what? It is finished. In other words, and bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. Some translations, the other scripture says he gave up the ghost. I want you to know he says it is finished. And maybe you need to understand what that means. But when Jesus at Golgotha on Calvary's cross, who had been crucified, when he gave up this word before he gives up the ghost, he says it is finished. Finish. What I'm trying to understand about our shouting, our preaching, our rejoicing is that when he said it, he was saying, you know what? I have finished paying the price. I finished paying the penalty. I finished paying the punishment. I have prayed for everything. That's why we sing that hymn. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all for our freedom. Jesus paid it all for our liberty. Jesus paid it all for our peace. Jesus paid it all for our healing. Jesus paid it all for the completion of our salvation. You don't have to do more. You don't have to earn more. You don't have to do something good. We stand in Jesus because of what he did at Golgotha and because of the crucifixion, because of the cross, because of his sacrifice. We do not have to walk in worry. We walk by faith and not by the sight of our eyes on the natural, but in the spirit. And what Jesus fulfilled in crucifixion, he has completed for your life. Give him a praise offering in Jesus' name. Say, I am free. Come on, say, I am free.
I am free.
Amen. Praise God. What we're trying to get you to understand is that Jesus showed up for us. Jesus showed what? Jesus, listen, you want to get these 2 points. They're major. Jesus at Golgotha to resurrection from the grave. Get this. Abolished the old ritual systems. He abolished the old ritual systems. He fulfilled them. In other words, we no longer live by them because he already lived them. Is everybody with me? He abolished the old ritual systems. Jesus at Golgotha, you got to get this one, he foiled the devil and demons and conquered the spoils. He foiled the devil and demons and conquered the spoils. Are y'all with me? When we look at this picture, I can't go into it to too much depth, but this is at a beautiful, wonderful church. I could talk about them a lot, but they were doing this painting as they had worship going on, and she was singing live, and they had it all, you know, in an angle and upside down, but when they turned it all around, they had not only the crosses, but the empty, or Jesus coming out the tomb. It was so beautifully done, and everybody said amen. So that's what we want to see, is free at Goshen from Golgotha. Free at Goshen versus Golgotha. To go back over the story a little bit, I'm doing this for those that need to remember. Goshen versus Golgotha. Here's what we want to get you to understand. I'm going fast. Goshen, everybody say Goshen. Goshen is where the transition for the Jews took place. Goshen is the land that was in Egypt as Joseph was the delegate or dignitary of Egypt, financial appointed position, and his family of 70 discover him there because they go and want to buy grain, but they find out that that's actually their brother and who is lost. He's alive, and Joseph invites them over, and the Egyptians welcome them, and they give them the land of Goshen. So there at Goshen, they multiply, and this is where they live, is at Goshen. But the reason that Goshen is so important to the Jews is because this is where Goshen is where they begin their deliverance. This is where they begin their what? It's where you want to hear all of this, trust me. This is where they get their deliverance. So therefore, when we understand Goshen is where they get their deliverance, it was there that they celebrate. It's there that God calls this the place of the Passover. It was at Goshen that the Passover is instituted. And how many know the Passover is vitally valuable to Jewish people? Are you with me? While they are celebrating the Passover, while they're celebrating the what? I want you to understand this is not trying to compare. It is a comparison and contrast, but it's not a better than a less than. It's just want you to understand where we celebrate. In other words, while the Jews celebrate Goshen, get this, but Golgotha is the place of our liberty. Golgotha is the place of our freedom. Golgotha is the place for our present and our future. Say amen. In other words, because they have the Passover, and this is where God caused them to be freed from bondage of 400 and some odd years. It's where God released them to go from bondage with the Egyptians and all of those generations that only knew slavery and all of those things to get them to finally go out and not be under that oppression anymore. God gave them deliverance from Goshen. From where? But God gave us freedom. God gave us liberty. God made us free as a result of Golgotha. As a result of Golgotha, God made us free. God made us liberated. And so what does that have to do with us today? I'm glad that we're still preaching. Amen. I want to tell you that we gave point one on last week. We pick up with point number two. I want you to understand it's okay for you to shout if you have to. Here's the point. Point number two. You see, at Goshen came at the expense of the firstborn of Egypt. You see, when that came, that plague that everybody was at Passover, everybody that was the firstborn was going to die, that affected Pharaoh's son who died. That's what the picture is. Are you with me? So at the expense of the firstborn, Egypt, what? Egypt, as a result of their people, their land, their animals, everything firstborn died. And that initiated or at the expense of the deliverance of the children of Israel. Are y'all with me? But say Golgotha.
Golgotha.
But wait a minute. While Golgotha came at the expense of sacrifice of God's own son as a result of the firstborn, the only begotten son of God is coming through Golgotha, which came for our deliverance, which came for our freedom, which came for our freedom of all things. So I'm going to ask you a question. There is no comparison to an Egyptian son over God's only begotten son. Therefore, Golgotha exceeds that of Goshen. Hallelujah. You see, Golgotha excels or exceeds that of Goshen. Golgotha excels or exceeds beyond Goshen. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? So therefore, If you understand that that was at Goshen, can I tell you another? Number three, look at this. You see, at Goshen, look at this. Goshen led to the what? Oh, nope, that's not it. Nope. Now that we jumped ahead again. Maybe it is. Uh-oh. Here we go. Goshen led to the carrying of dead bones of Joseph. You remember Joseph told the children of Israel, when you leave, take my bones with you. Take my what? Here's a question I want to ask you. I do not carry dead things. Come on. No, you. I said I do not carry dead things. Say, I do not carry dead things. In other words, I don't carry old things. I don't carry old ways. I don't carry works of the flesh. I don't carry things of the law. I don't carry what I used to be and what I used to do. I don't carry who I used to be in the flesh, because I was buried with him in baptism, and I did not come out of the grave. I did not come out of the tomb. I was buried with him. Therefore, I will be raised with Jesus. I want you to know, we have not been a commission to carry dead things. They came out of Goshen, and they carried dead bones. I want you to know, but what? At Golgotha, it led to dead bones coming alive. They arose. The Bible says that the graves were opened at his death, and they saw the saints walking around in Jerusalem. You know, Goshen carried out dead bones, but at Golgotha, Jesus caused dead bones to come alive. Yeah. Hallelujah. My God. I told you, Golgotha exceeds that of Goshen. Golgotha exceeds that of Goshen. Because, why are you playing? Next. Goshen versus Golgotha. How many of you know Goshen led to the parting of the Red Sea? But I want to remind you something. That through the frogs, the flies, the blood of the river, the darkness, Pharaoh still did not free them. Pharaoh did not stop the oppression. In other words, things got worse. Are you with me? All of those plagues happened until finally, when it was time, God says, enough is enough. And when it came, enough was enough, he told Moses, why are you asking me? Look what's in your own hand. Are you with me? And as we see on the top picture, the Red Sea parted and the children of Israel went across on dry land. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, how many understand that Goshen led to the parting of the Red Sea? But this is what you need to understand about Golgotha. But at Golgotha, it led to the parting, the splitting, and the tearing of the curtain in the temple. And because of what Jesus Christ's death did at Golgotha in the temple, the curtain got torn from the top to the bottom. But that's not even the best part. The best part is, because once that got torn, we have direct access into the presence of God. We don't have to go through anybody else. We get to go straight into God's presence. Everything that was behind the curtain is everything that we had need of. It was in the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. He came down in a cloud between the cherubims. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was the budding of the branch that was there. It was there that the Ten Commandments was there, which represents the Word of God. I want you to understand, we now have direct access to the presence of God, because at Golgotha, the veil got ripped. God said, enough. I want to be directly in contact with my people, and my son has paid the price. He's paid the penalty. He paid for this. Now they have direct access to me. They have a free entry into my presence. Give the Lord a praise offering. Diamond, I want you to understand, we don't have to do anything but just come to him. We have free access. Wait a minute, wait, watch this. We don't only have free access to him, but God has direct access to us. God has direct access to us as well. God has a free, open access one with another. Somebody say amen. I say Golgotha. Golgotha exceeds that of Goshen. Somebody say amen. Here's the very last one, I believe. You see, at Goshen is where the reign of Pharaoh ended. But at Golgotha is where the reign of the devil ended. It's where the devil was ended and the works of the devil were defeated. Golgotha, at Golgotha, the works of the devil was defeated. You know what? We need to stop being afraid of the devil. You need to stop being impressed with demons. Jesus defeated the devil and made a... Can I tell you what he did? Are y'all ready for this? Turn to Colossians chapter 2. We are almost done. This is it. This is where the show must go on right here. This is where the message gets its title. I'm going to read it, but I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 2. You don't want to miss this, please. New Living Translation. We're going to start at verse 6. If you want to know, and sometimes I understand, depending on who you are, you don't necessarily care for how I go about it. I understand that. But here's the creativity of this. The show must go on. There's a word here that you would want to see. Look at this in the New Living Translation. It's in all the translations, but just take a look at this. I'll read it from New Living. It says this, starting at verse 6. And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus, this is speaking to us. And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, Jesus. So you also are complete. Now look, you got to stop there right there. Look at that. It says you are also what?
Complete.
You are also what?
Complete.
Listen, you are not fragmented. You are not fractioned. You are not missing something. You are complete. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Say amen. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. Then God made you what?
Alive.
He made you what?
Alive.
I'm going to show you how. While Christ, for he forgave all. Did y'all see that? He forgave all of our sins. He canceled, verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away. Look at how he did it. I know there's many ways that we say he did it, and there's many things in the scriptures, but in this verse, look what it says how he did it. He did it by nailing it to the cross. And where was that cross at? At Calvary, at Golgotha. He took the charges against us away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I need you to understand what we just read and what that just means, but I'll just go to the scripture to show it to you. Look at what it says. Jesus made an open show. Jesus made an open show, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Everything that was written against us in the law, everything that was written bad, all the rules we've been trying to keep and never could keep them, while the rules will never give life, while you try to keep doing better, you keep doing worse. That is not going to help any of us. But a faith and a belief in Jesus Christ will give you a brand new life. A belief and a fullness of the Holy Spirit will give you an empowerment. It's the grace of God that will cause you to exceed and never fail. Why is this? Because look what it says. He took it away. He moved it out of the way that was contrary to us. He took it out of the way by doing what? Nailing it to the cross. Look at what it says. And having despoiled principalities and powers, demons, devils, principalities, rulers, all of those things, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. The Bible says, like a procession, Jesus took the parade and victory, and he just proceeded around and says, nah, 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 nah. I made an open show of all of what you had against God's people, and I put it by nailing it to the cross. The show had to go on because it was our victory. It was our celebration. It was our freedom. It was our liberty. Everything you had need of came from what he accomplished at Golgotha. Give the Lord a shout. Come on and praise the Lord. Would you come up if you would, Brother Nehemiah? I want you to play as we get ready to stand. Look what he did, you all. The Bible says, look at the left one. He took, look what it is. The record has been canceled against you. You have been forgiven. You know, I've heard people say this. You know what? I believe God forgave me. I believe they forgave me. But I'm having a difficulty forgiving myself. But if you do that, that means you became God. God forgives you. Jesus died for you. He made it nailed to the cross to deal with it from the spirit, the inside, all that was against you. So why don't you just accept what he's already done for you? You don't have to work for it. But you know, Pastor, when I do this, I suffer the consequences. But you know what? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Yeah. And since he gave you his son, he gave you the greatest love, the greatest gift of all. And it conquers whatever you've done because his nailing to the cross paid it all. There's not something you have to do more except believe and receive. You only have to accept all of what he's fulfilled. The show went on. He took us to the cross and bore our sins, and now I don't have to. Look, Jesus canceled the record of the charges against us by nailing it to the cross. God, work on the heart right now. This is beautiful. There's things going on in the room right now. I didn't plan this. Oh my God. Listen, Jesus did this for you. It totally is making sense what Sister Kelly was saying now. Called us literally, almost all of us out by name. He is for you, and he proved it. He died openly, out in public. Some things we do, we get embarrassed about them, and we try to hide them. He went out and did it openly so that you wouldn't have to be embarrassed anymore. The Bible says, after having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle. He embarrassed the devil. He says, ha, 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 you thought you killed me, but I lay my life down. Nobody takes my life. And if I lay it down, I will pick it back up again. And the Spirit of God raised him from the dead to make sure we got everything he paid for. And now he lives forevermore. Jesus Christ, he paid it all at Golgotha. Look, over them in the cross. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I want to share with you a testimony. And then I'm going to share with you a test, so to speak. How many of you know testimonies come out of a test? Yes. Testimonies come out of a test. I want you to know that before I left, I prayed about going to Ghana. I prayed, God, what would you have us to do, God? God, show me things to come, God. God, go before me, God. Show us, bless, Father, not for me, not for glory, not for fame, not for name. Makes no difference, God. I just want to be a no name. But God, would you make people free? Would you bless? Would you anoint? Would you heal? Would you save? Would you deliver? God, may you help marriages. May you help those that are individually saddened by those that don't have a hope. You see, we believe in being supernatural in services and in what? You see, I wasn't at a church service. I wasn't even out in the streets. I was right in the hotel where all of us were staying, and I was in the hotel. And because I had been there, I had began to know a lot of the people there and the front desk and those that we're in the restaurant and hosting and all of those things. And there was a young lady we had so much blessing with at the front desk, a little wonderful one, young lady named Ann. Sweet, sweet spirit. And I went in the side of the dining room one day because I think they were cleaning our room or something like that. And so I was in there and I was just had my computer and I was doing something. And she was in there. She was supposed to be at the front desk, but she was in the dining room and she was bent over and she was kind of coiled over like this. And I couldn't help but notice it. I said, Ann, are you okay? What's going on, honey? She says, I don't know, Pastor. She says, I came to work and I just started being sick. I just had something on me. I don't know. I just started feeling so bad and I don't even know if I can finish my shift. And I just don't feel good at all. I want you to understand, I just came over to her and I just laid hands on her. I just laid hands on her. I prayed for her. Now listen, I didn't spit. I didn't holler. I didn't speak another tongue. Didn't go loud or anything. I just prayed, Jesus, bless and cause freedom. God, release her from this infirmity, and by your stripes you were healed. God, may she be fully recovered, and may you be receiving the glory and the honor. May Jesus Christ be alive. The next day, she's down the stairs and she's at the front desk. I said, what happened? She was all bubbly and she was smiling, and she would say, Pastor, I don't know what happened. I went to sleep last night and I had a dream, but the dream was real. She said, while I was dreaming, a black vapor came up out of my mouth and through my nostrils. She said, out of my stomach came a black vapor and came through my nostrils. And when I woke up, I was free. I was healed. I was made free. So I came to work today full of energy, full of power. I don't know what happened. It was just a miracle. I want you to know we can't make this stuff up. Our God saves. Our God heals. Our God delivers. Our God keeps his promise. Our Jesus is the one who makes us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Who's in this room? Every eye closed. Who's online? You may even be in Ghana. You may be in the UK. You may be in Latin America. Or you might be on the third row. Jesus came and he went through Calvary's cross, Golgotha. And it's there that he set us free. It is there that he liberated us. It is there that he released the captives. It is there that those that were locked up in prison but wasn't in jail, those that were sinking in sin of quicksand, he reached out his hand and he picked them up like he did Peter. And he was able to perform a miracle by walking on water. I ask of you, if you're in this room, if you're watching online, you may know Jesus. You may have accepted him. You may be in this room, but you know this word was directly for you. You would have to actually be in denial if this did not work through you. By an act of your faith, I just want to ask that those that are prayer and altar call team, would you please come forward up front if you don't mind? Could I get you to excuse yourself and come up front or step out in the aisle, wherever you are, in Jesus' name? We want to close, but we want to give you an opportunity to have people pray with you and pray over you and pray for you and reinstill and remind and agree with you in prayer that whom Jesus Christ made free at Golgotha, made sure it was alive at the resurrection, would bring forth the power for you to walk out free. When I asked it, if you're in this room, on the count of three, you just make up in your mind, I'm taking steps out of this aisle. I'm going to excuse myself from these seats, and I'm just going to walk up front. I want to receive prayer. I want to be free. I don't want to be dealing with this anymore. I want Jesus to manifest in me. After the count of three, with whoever you are, I just need freedom. I just need Jesus' freedom. I just want you to come forward. You make sure you reach out to Michael and Sarah online. If you're here in this room and every eye closed and every heart open, be ready. Father, we thank you for what Jesus fulfilled. We thank you. We thank you. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving right now that you saw me. You know, one of the commissions is this. Jesus wants you to know, the word says in Jeremiah, Old Testament, that he was married to the backslider. And he says, I'm going to give you a shepherd. I'm going to give you shepherds that will be able to give you knowledge and understanding. And maybe you might feel like, I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm just talking about, you know what? I needed more understanding of what I was going through. Sister Ida said it on last week. Oh, my God, this is exactly what I needed. I just want to ask you, you know what? If that's you, just make a decision on the count of three. You're just going to come forward. Father, we thank you so much for the power of your resurrection. We thank you for the power of your crucifixion. We thank you for the power of your Holy Ghost. We thank you for the inauguration of the outpouring on Pentecost that you filled the church, you inaugurated, you began a new work. I pray, God, that you would do that in the lives and the hearts of the people that are saying yes to you right now. So it is by grace that we are saved through faith. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's in Jesus Christ's name, on the count of one. I'm coming up. I want to accept. I want to be part of what Jesus is doing in my life. Two, thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. I'm going to accept that. Three, would you please come right now in Jesus' name? Some people have already come. If that's you, thank you so much. Just come up for prayer right now, whoever you are, all over the room. I just want to be made free. I just want to live in the manifestation of that freedom. I just don't want to be bound by anything or anybody. I don't want to be left in bondage to even lack of unforgiveness. Me forgiving others or being forgiven. I want to be free in Jesus' name. Every hand lifted, every hand lifted. Father, into your presence we commit ourselves unto you. We go afraid from this place and from the corporate body, but never away from you, dwelling in me. We thank you, Jesus, for all that I've heard, my eyes have seen, my ears have heard, and I have perceived in my heart by your Spirit the good things that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Give the Lord a big shout offering. Come on, give the Lord a big shout offering. Come on, give the Lord a big praise offering. Praise the Lord. One more final thing before you leave. I need you to turn to the person to your left and turn to the person to your right. I believe they need your hug. I believe they need your hug. The person to your left and the person to your right, they need your hug. They need your hug. We're dismissed. The altar call is still open. Altar call is still open. God bless you. We're dismissed. Thank you for your patience.